Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney, Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to this week's 5-Minute Update, where we examine the news events of the past week and relate it and associate it to major Bible prophecies of the end of days, wherein we're told that the nations will divide the land of Israel, Joel chapter 3 and verse 2, and the city of Jerusalem, Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2, in a period of time known as the Day of the Lord, Joel chapter 1 verse 15, Joel chapter 2 verses 1 and 2, and Zechariah in chapter 14 and verse 1. The way in which the nations divide the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem is that they recognize a Palestinian state based upon 67 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. And this will result in the judgment of the nations, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3, Joel chapter 3, and verse 9. And looking at the larger picture, the judgment of the nations consists of two primary things. Number one, the collapse of the worldwide Babylonian financial system, and number two, war between the nations that is centered in the Middle East involving Israel, the United States, Syria, and Iran. From the collapse of the worldwide Babylonian financial system and war between the nations, the nations will restructure and they will formally set up functioning one world government with one world currency. And the duration of time of one world government operating in the earth is 42 months. Revelation in chapter 13. And at the same time that the nations are setting up one world government, the God of Israel will be gathering his people from the nations of the world where they've been scattered, and he will unite the 12 tribes of Israel in fulfillment of the prophecy of Ezekiel in chapter 37, verses 15 through 28. And it is the Messiah of Israel, even Yeshua HaMashiach, who will gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel, Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 3 through 6. Yeshua told us that he died on the tree for the ultimate purpose of gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel, John chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, and this is repeated in John chapter 11, verses 49 through 52, wherein there Caiaphas, the high priest, prophesies in John chapter 11, verse 51, that Yeshua would die for that nation, referring to the house of Judah or the Jewish people, but in John chapter 11, verse 52, not for that nation only, but he would gather together in one the children of God scattered abroad. These two nations, who are the children of God scattered abroad, are Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom. They are the 12 tribes of Israel. Yeshua was asked in Acts chapter 1 verse 6, when are you going to do this? And when he does this is during the last 42 months prior to him setting his feet down on the Mount of Olives, as we're told in the book of Revelation, wherein those who Messiah gathers back to the land, they will overcome the beast, his mark, his image, and the number of his name, Revelation chapter 15 and verse 2. And in doing so, they will be singing the song of Moses and singing the song of the Lamb. The song of the Lamb is the Lord's song that is spoken of in Psalm 137 and verse 4, and it is the Song of Zion, Psalm 137 and verse 3. And you cannot sing the Lord's Song or the Song of Zion in Babylon, as we're told in Psalm 137 verses 1 through 4. And when Yeshua gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel, he will be glorified. And this is the prayer that Yeshua prayed in John chapter 17 in verse 21, that they may be one. He's praying for the gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel, that when this happens, we will see the fulfillment of Yeshua's prayer, that the world will know that the Father sent Yeshua into the earth to be the Savior of the world. And the reason why the world is going to know is because Yeshua is going to gather his people back to the land by signs, wonders, and miracles, and he's going to do it in the same way that he brought his people out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, which is by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And this is how he will do it as well, as we're told in Isaiah in chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6. The 5-minute update is a watchman on the wall report where we inquire regarding the status of Jerusalem from Isaiah chapter 62. And we are told that it is the duty of the watchman, Ezekiel in chapter 33, verses 1 through 7, that when he sees trouble coming upon the land, he's to blow the shofar and to warn the people. So, in this week's update, it is going to be a special report for you regarding the judgment of the nations. And we are going to be sharing with you on the subject of the United States in Bible prophecy. And in doing so, I'm going to share with you a prophetic dream that a pastor in southern Ohio had, which he testified of this prophetic dream to Rick Wiles of True News, who interviews him. So first, I'm going to share with you regarding the United States in prophecy, and then I will play for you this interview. And looking at the United States in prophecy, we need to be familiar with this principle that the God of Israel declares the end in the beginning. We are told this in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 through 11, as it is written, "Remember the former things of old. I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." So why is it that the God of Israel says that there is no one like him? Because he's the only one who can tell you the future in the beginning, declaring the end from the beginning. So in the beginning of the creation of the world, he prophesied of how things will be in the end. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel will stand." What's his counsel? Declaring the end from the beginning, "and I will do all my pleasure." The last part of Isaiah chapter 46, verse 11, "I have spoken it when? In the beginning. I will bring it to pass. When? In the end. I purposed it. When? In the beginning. I will also do it." So in looking at Bible prophecy from a Hebraic perspective, you need to understand this principle of here now, but not yet, that the God of Israel will give us an indication of prophetic fulfillment in biblical history. And when we see things being fulfilled in biblical history, it's done in the literal, and that foreshadows the spiritual meaning and the spiritual application. Even as we see this in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 46. "Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual." So we first see a literal fulfillment of Scripture, but the ultimate application, the meaning behind the literal fulfillment, is a spiritual meaning. So in the Bible, we have the enemies of Israel, that rule and reign over her because she breaks the covenant at Mount Sinai. And in the book of Daniel, we have an outline of world empires where Daniel saw an image of a beast. And the head of that image was Babylon. And then he saw the arms, which represents the Medes and the Persians. And then he saw the midsection, which represented Greece. And then the legs, representing the Roman Empire. And the beast entity of the end days is represented by the 10 toes, which is part iron and part clay. So historically, we have the literal Babylon, headed by Nebuchadnezzar, who came against the nation of Israel and took the Jewish people into captivity. We're told about this in Jeremiah in chapter 25. But this is a prophetic foreshadowing of an end-time nation in the end of days who is also referred to as Babylon. Now, when we discuss Babylon in Scripture, we need to remember that Babylon is a generic term for the kingdom of darkness that has many tentacles. For example, there is a literal land of Babylon, and the area of Iraq encompasses the literal land of Babylon. We also have financial Babylon. Our monetary system of this world is a financial Babylonian system. We have political Babylon. The political systems of this world is Babylon, because the kingdom that will be forever is the God of Israel as King of the universe, ruling and reigning upon the earth. And then ultimately, we're told in Revelation in chapter 21 about a new heaven and a new earth, wherein Yeshua will rule forever from the heavenly Jerusalem, which is the place of his throne, as we're told in Revelation in chapter 22. But we also have an end-time spiritual land of Babylon, which I believe refers to the United States. And that is the subject of this teaching, is showing that the United States is the end-time spiritual land of Babylon that is spoken of in the Scriptures in Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah chapter 21 verses 1 through 10, Isaiah chapter 47, Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51, and Revelation in chapter 18. And so when we're looking at these chapters regarding an end-time spiritual land of Babylon, which I believe refers to the United States of America, we need to determine that within those chapters that there is a time reference for the application of the text. And in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "The burden of Babylon." And the context is Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6. "How, for the day of the Lord is at hand." And this is a reference to the end of days, the tribulation period. "And it will come as destruction from the Almighty." Isaiah chapter 13, verse 8. "Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them." And pangs and sorrows is a term for the tribulation period. And then it says in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19, "In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms." So we're talking about an end-time nation that is in existence in the day of the Lord that is described as the glory of kingdoms. I believe that this describes the United States of America. And the prophecy here in Isaiah chapter 13 is that they will be in a conflict or a war with the Medes, which is a reference to the Iranians. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 17. "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them." And this conflict between Babylon and the Medes is spoken of in Jeremiah in chapter 51. In verse 11. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it. Now we're going to see our time reference. Because it is the vengeance of the Lord. And the vengeance of the Lord is a term for the judgment of the nations, and the vengeance of the Lord comes about over the controversy of Zion. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance for the controversy of Zion. So Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 11, when it is speaking of Babylon being in conflict with the Medes, your time reference is the tribulation period. And then if you look at the first few verses of Revelation chapter 18, they are only quotes from Isaiah and Jeremiah. And so even though we can look into detail of Isaiah 13, Isaiah 21, verses 1 through 10, Isaiah chapter 47, in this teaching, we're going to focus on Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51. And we're going to look at characteristics of Babylon in these chapters to see its association with the United States of America. But first, as we're looking at the chapters, we want to look at a time reference for the prophecy regarding Babylon. And in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 15, it is written, "Shout against her round about, she has given her hand, her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down. It is the vengeance of the Lord." So that is a reference to the tribulation period and its association with the controversy of Zion, Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 8. Then we want to look at Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 16. "Cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handles the sickle in the time of harvest." The sickle in the time of harvest refers to the end of days. It refers to the tribulation period before Yeshua sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives. In Joel chapter 3 and verse 13 it is written, "Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe." Then the next verse, Joel chapter 3 verse 14, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." So the sickle is put in because the harvest is ripe in the day of the Lord. But in Babylon, we're told to cut off the sower from Babylon in the time of harvest. So let's look at some characteristics here in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51 that we can associate to the United States of America. First, it is describing the end of days. We gave you a couple references, but we will give you one more. Jeremiah chapter 50 in verse 4, it says, "In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, weeping. They will go and seek the Lord their God. They will ask the way to Zion." The phrase, "in those days and in that time," is an idiomatic expression for the day of the Lord, which is a term for the end of days and the tribulation period. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 12, "Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations." The word hindermost is the Strong's number 319 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary. And it is the Hebrew word akarit, which means the last or the end. So this is an end nation, an end time nation. So first of all, we can see then that these chapters about Babylon is referring to the end of days, the tribulation period, the day of the Lord. Secondly, Jeremiah chapter 50 in verse 37, we're told that Babylon is a rich and economically prosperous country. "A sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her. They shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures. And then in Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 13, O you that dwell upon many waters, abundant in treasures. Next, Babylon is a land of mingled or mixed people. We read this verse, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 37. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon all the mingled people. The United States is called the melting pot of the earth. Number four, Babylon is a world military power. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 53. Though Babylon should mount up into heaven, though she should fortify the height of her strength, she's a great military power and has great military strength. It goes on to say, yet from me shall spoilers come under her. So her defenses mount up to heaven, and she fortifies the height of her strength. Number five, she is a country that has defeated mighty kingdoms through war. Jeremiah 50 and verse 23. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? Jeremiah chapter 51 verses 20 and 21. You are my battle axe and weapons of war, for with you will I break in pieces the nations, and with you will I destroy kingdoms, and with you will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with you will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. Number six, Babylon is a land that sits upon many waters. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 13. O you that dwell upon many waters, abundant in treasures, your end is come. So the United States sits between the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean. The state of Minnesota is called the state of 10,000 lakes. And we have the mighty Mississippi River that goes through the central part of the United States. Number seven, Babylon is a country that has a heritage in the God of Israel, but she's turned from that heritage. Jeremiah in chapter 50 and verse 11. Because you were glad, because you rejoice, O destroyers of my heritage. So, the founders of this country partly settled in the United States, fleeing religious persecution in Europe, and they dedicated this country to the God of Israel. Number eight, we're told that the God of Israel would have healed Babylon, but she was not willing to repent. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verses 8 and 9. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. How for her? Take balm for her, if so, that she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she would not be healed. And so, even though we've had so many warnings of the God of Israel over the last 20 years upon this country, the people in the land refused to repent, and they continue to get more liberal and more wicked, turning their hearts and their ways against the God of Israel. The gospel goes forth from Babylon because we are told in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 16, cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handles the sickle. So the sower is in Babylon, and Messiah told a parable of the sower and said that the sower sows the word. So the word of God is going forth from Babylon, but we are told to cut off that sower. In other words, it will not be able to go forth from Babylon when Babylon is judged. Next, we're told that Babylon is a land that does not believe that she will experience the judgment of the God of Israel. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 5 and verses 7 through 10. Sit thou silent and get you into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. And so one of the recognizable symbols of the United States of America is the Statue of Liberty. Verse 7, and you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not lay these things to your heart, neither did you remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, you who are given to treasures and dwell carelessly, that say in your heart, I am, and there is none beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come upon you in a moment, and one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their perfection, for the multitudes of your sorceries, and for the great abundance of your enchantments. For you have trusted in wickedness, and you said, none sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, it has perverted you. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is none like me. Number 11, the attacking power against Babylon, who destroys it, comes from the north country. And in the Bible, north is the direction that represents judgment and trouble. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 3, for out of the north there comes a nation against her. Verse 9, for lo, I will raise up and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north. Verse 26, come against her from the uttermost border. Verse 41, behold, a people shall come from the north. Number 12, Babylon is destroyed by extremely accurate arrows. This, I believe, refers to intercontinental ballistic missiles. And the attack is devastating. Jeremiah in chapter 50, verse 9, for lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From there she will be taken. Their arrow shall be as a mighty expert man, and none shall return in vain. Verse 14, put yourselves in array against Babylon. All that bend the bow, shoot at her. Spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Number 13, a fire is kindled in the cities of Babylon from these accurate arrows or missiles. Jeremiah in chapter 50 and verse 32, and the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up, and I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour it all round about him. Number 14, Babylon will be destroyed in the way that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Jeremiah in chapter 50 and verse 40. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Number 15, the nations of the world will tremble and shake in fear at the fall or the defeat of Babylon. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 46, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and a cry is heard among the nations. Number 16, the people of the God of Israel are living in Babylon when she falls. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 4, in those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. The children of Israel is northern kingdom, the children of Judah, southern kingdom. And they will both be fleeing Babylon together. It says in verse 5 that they will ask the way to Zion. Number 17, the people of the God of Israel in the land, when Babylon falls, they are told to let Jerusalem come to their mind. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 50, you that escaped the sword, go away, stand not still, remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. Number 18, when Babylon is destroyed, the sins of the house of Judah and the house of Israel will be pardoned. Jeremiah in chapter 50 in verse 20. in those days and in that time, an idiomatic expression for the day of the Lord, the tribulation period, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. And that is because from this event, it will entail the people of the God of Israel returning back to the land led by the Messiah as he's gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel. Number 19, when his people return to the land of Israel, they will enter into an eternal covenant that will not be forgotten. Jeremiah in chapter 50, verse 4, when it speaks about the children of Israel and the children of Judah going and weeping, refers to repenting, and they will seek the Lord their God. That's the Messiah of Israel, even Yeshua HaMashiach. They will ask the way to Zion. And Zion is the unification of the people of the God of Israel, Isaiah chapter 51, verse 16, with the land of Israel, Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, who are following his Torah. The Torah will go forth from Zion, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, and the Messiah will be head over them. As we're told that the 12 tribes will appoint themselves one head, Hosea chapter 1 and verse 11. And then we're told in Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 24 that David my servant will be king over them. So in Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 5, as they're asking the way to Zion, they say, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord, that's going to be the Messiah, in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. And this is the covenant of the Messianic era, wherein when Messiah sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, his people will no more ever be in exile, and their enemies will never rule over them. We're told in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 26, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it will be an everlasting covenant. And finally, in looking at some of these characteristics of this end time entity, who I believe refers to the United States, the spiritual land of Babylon, we're going to see that it is repeated multiple times in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51 as the final characteristic, that when Babylon is destroyed, she will not be inhabited forever. And that in her full destruction, not one person will live in Babylon. So let's look at these scriptures that says that in this judgment of Babylon, and the fullness of her judgment, because her judgment comes in stages. We're told in Revelation chapter 18, Babylon is fallen. This could be interpreted as staged judgment. And then we're told in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 50, you that escape the sword. So there's a sword that comes upon the land, and those who escape the initial sword are to let Jerusalem come to your mind. But ultimately, the fullness of that sword is the land of Babylon is wholly desolate, and there is not one person who will ultimately live in it. That's why the God of Israel says, flee from her. And we're told in Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 16, for fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one into their own land. So people in general are leaving Babylon when she's destroyed, the United States of America. And God's people are told to ask the way to Zion and to let Jerusalem come to your mind. They're supposed to return to the land of Israel. So now let's look at scriptures that says that she will be wholly desolate in her judgment. The first one that we're going to look at is Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 13. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it will be wholly desolate. Everyone that goes by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at her plagues. Then, Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 45. Therefore hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he has taken against Babylon and his purposes that he's purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 25. The end of the verse says, I will make you a burnt mountain. Now, the emphasis that is placed in the judgment upon Babylon in these two chapters, Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, is that Babylon, in the fullness of her judgment, there will not be an inhabitant. Now, if you want to emphasize something, you repeat it. And so, that is not only repeated in these chapters, but it is repeated a great many times. Let's look at these occurrences. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 26. Come against her from the uttermost border upon her storehouses, cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 39. Therefore the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the islands shall dwell there, and owls shall dwell therein, and it shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Verse 40, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 3. Against him that bends, let the archer bend the bow. Then it goes on to say, destroy her utterly. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 26. And they shall not take of you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 29. And the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation, without an inhabitant. Jeremiah 51, verse 37. And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment, and a hissing, without a inhabitant. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 43. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land where no man dwells, neither does any son of man pass thereby. Now, if these many references doesn't get the reader to recognize that when this end-time entity called Babylon falls in the day of the Lord, that it's a total desolation, and in the fullness of her judgment, there's not one inhabitant that will remain in the land. This is how Jeremiah chapter 51 concludes. Verse 62. Then you shall say, O Lord, that has spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be when you've made an end of reading this book, that you shall bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And you will say, thus shall Babylon sink and not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. So, what we've done in this teaching is we've outlined for you that Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah chapter 21 verses 1 through 10, Isaiah chapter 47, Isaiah chapter 50, 51, Revelation chapter 18, they all prophesy about the fall and the destruction of Babylon, and the context of these prophecies is the end of days, the day of the Lord, or the tribulation period. And Babylon is described as being the hindermost or the last or an end time nation. The characteristics that describe Babylon fit with the United States of America. Among other things, she's going to be in a conflict or a war with the Medes, the Iranians, and in the fullness of her judgment, there will not be one person dwell therein. But for the people who know the God of Israel, who knows His word, who knows His ways, who knows His will, He has provided a means of escape. He has said, come out of Babylon and flee from her. And in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 50, let Jerusalem come to your mind. Because when Babylon falls, the God of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, will be gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel and taking them to Zion. Ultimately, then, when he sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, he will set up his kingdom, and he will rule and reign with his people, and he will be teaching his Torah to all nations. So, with this scriptural background regarding what the Bible prophesies about the fall of Babylon in the end of days, which I've just shared with you, the characteristics that it's referring to the United States of America, now I'd like to share with you the prophetic dream of Pastor T.D. Hale from Gallipolis, Ohio, and he's sharing the prophetic dream that he had, which took place December the 28th, 2011, and he's being interviewed by Rick Wiles of True News. The website of Rick Wiles is truenews.com, and at his website is posted the full interview.
Here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News. Recently, a number of True News listeners emailed to me a prophetic dream that's circulating on the internet. It's a dream that was received by a pastor in Ohio. He received this dream in late December 2011. The email is titled, "An Urgent Warning Dream from the Lord to America." And the man who was given the dream is Pastor T.D. Hale. And he is the shepherd of Calvary Christian Center in Ohio. He's on the phone with me right now. Pastor Hale, God bless you, brother. Welcome to True News.
Thank you, brother. It's an honor to be here today. Absolutely. Thank you.
So when I saw this email, I knew that the Holy Spirit had spoken to you. Brother, I don't know anything about your church or your ministry. I've been to your website. Tell me, have you ever had any type of a prophetic warning like this before?
No, this is actually the first and certainly the one that shocked me the most when I did receive it.
So this type of message from the Lord, this is new to you?
This definitely was new to me.
Sir, how long have you been pastoring?
I have been in ministry for over 35 years. I've pastored numerous churches, and the one I'm at, I've been there for 6 years.
35 years of ministry, and
yes, sir.
And this is the first time the Holy Spirit has sent this type of a prophetic dream warning to you. Give us the background. I know this happened in late December. Did this just come out of the blue, or had God been dealing with your heart about anything? Give us a picture of what was going on in your life at that time.
Well, we certainly have been studying, and we have always studied on end time and prophecy events, and of course with the situation that we see going on with the administration, certainly there are warning signs coming up, and I have been praying and seeking the Lord to give me a word for our assembly. Of course, I went to bed that night just like any other night, and the Lord just really dealt with me in the middle of the night concerning things that were coming.
And this is December 28th, 2011.
Yes, sir.
All right. So tell us about the dream.
Well, I certainly was shocked when I seen what I saw. But I, in the dream, I began to see myself going across America. And in the dream, I didn't have no fear. There was no fear at all about what I was seeing. But then all of a sudden,
How were you going across America? Were you walking? What was happening?
No, I was actually floating. I was actually going across America.
You were suspended in the air. You were looking down.
Yes, sir. Suspended in the air, going and crossed. And then all of a sudden, I began to see bombs had landed everywhere. The land was totally destroyed.
Bombs had been exploding on the ground of America. And everything was destroyed?
I saw it looked like things were totally just wiped off. Grass, trees, everything.
Everything was barren.
It was gone.
Burnt. Was that what it looked like? Like blackened cinder, burnt look?
Yes, it did.
Like when a fire goes through a forest and everything just sticks, just black sticks, is that what it looked like?
It was like everything was complete. There was nothing left. There was nothing on the trees. There was nothing, nowhere.
Okay, and this was everywhere?
From what I could see, from the point I was at.
So tell us what happened next.
Well, when I saw this, I saw people standing around, you know, their homes and things that were left, holding on to each other, I saw, you know, people that had laid dead, and I began to hear the screams and the cries of the people that this should never have happened. And it was like they kept, you know, saying it over and over and over again, this should never have happened. Oh, Lord, this should never have happened.
It should never have happened. And that's a prophetic word right there. It should never have happened. But it happened.
Yes, it did.
It happened. And that's the reality of it. It did happen.
It did.
And there was nothing anybody could do about it. And life had changed.
Yes. Yes, it had. You could tell.
I understand what you saw was it was total destruction. No food, no water.
No. No, there was no food. There was no water. I could see babies crying, grown-ups, men all crying, holding on to their families. They were begging God for mercy. And as I, you know, kind of moved along, I saw people running, looking for their loved ones, missing. Insanity had took over.
So you saw babies crying, you saw grown adults crying, people holding each other, begging God for mercy. You saw insanity sweeping the land. People were losing their minds. They couldn't handle the new reality. So what happened next in the dream?
Well, I saw another dream the very next night.
You had a second dream?
The very next night.
What did you see?
I had saw in a distance, I actually had came upon or had went to a wooded area, and I saw that there were some people out there camping, but not camping like we think. They were actually hiding, which I saw some federal government officials driving up around. I'll cut this short. They were coming up around the wooded area, and they actually come in and took these families off, and they did take them to some kind of processing place, a place where they took them off to. I was standing in the front of this building as I watched them being taken in and processed, and it almost to me looked as if I was looking at the days of Hitler again.
The Fourth Reich had risen.
And, absolutely.
And it was in America. And the concentration camps were now open.
That's exactly right. And that's what I said in the dream, that I had felt like I had entered in to a death camp. And it literally sickened me what I saw. And I knew that America was about to change.
Anything else in that second dream?
Well, I saw, you know, the adults being taken, handcuffed, taken to the cars, and they took the children with them. I saw the two elderly people, and they took them and put them in the car. And I saw the men, the federal men. I heard them say, "We are from the United States government. You are under arrest." And I knew that they were running from that. And, you know, I immediately was transported from there of seeing what I saw in the woods. They were standing all by their tents. There was two tents. And they looked tattered. They looked like they hadn't took a bath in ages. There was, you know, gallon jugs of water, and they were trying to light a fire, but they didn't want to bring attention to themselves, but they have they'd already had been found out because they had come in and took them to this area, building, and it looked like it had been modernized, but yet I knew that it was not like we see today, where it's just, you know, they're going in and it looked very tattered. It looked like things were very run down, and I actually saw rail cars were up beside this place. I didn't go into the rail car. I didn't see inside, but I did see the rail cars down around this place. And that frightened me. It actually, I got to be honest with you, it really disturbed me, and actually you're the first one I've ever shared this with.
Pastor, do you think that those buildings, you said they were somewhat run down and tattered, but they have been modernized. Do you think perhaps they were old military bases that had been shut down by the U.S. government and then reopened?
Yes, that's what I knew they had. Yes, absolutely. That's what I saw. Mm-hmm. So I knew that they probably were old military bases of some sort that had been modernized and painted and updated. And I saw them being taken in, processed. I even saw them being fingerprinted.
But they had railroad spurs going up to those sites.
I did see that, yes. That's what I did see that. I knew America was in trouble when I saw that. I knew that we were definitely heading down a path that was not going to be turned around.
Pastor, you're a servant of the Lord. You've been a good, faithful pastor for over 35 years. You've preached thousands of sermons. You've married people. You've buried people. You've counseled people. You've just been a shepherd for all these decades. And then out of the blue, the Lord shows you destruction of the land. He follows it up the next night with another dream that America looks like the Fourth Reich, looks like Nazi Germany. It has concentration camps.
Yes.
What is going on here in your life, in your ministry?
Well, I you know, brother, I have to tell you, I'm very shocked that the Lord, gave me this. We have been ministering in our church, you know, to the people that we have, and I have been dealing with prophecy and things, and I have dealt with prophecy in the past, but out of the clear blue, this come to me, this dream, these dreams, and I felt like that I needed to share it with people, and I felt like it was time. We're here. We're in the hour where God is giving all of us an urgent warning to prepare for what's coming.
All right, let's go back to your first dream. On the evening of December 28, 2011, as I read the transcript, it says that you came over a large city that looked like Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Columbus, Ohio. I have been to New York and other cities. I've been, you know, in many, many different states. And so,
what town are you in?
I live in a town called Gallipolis. That's where our church is, which is about 2.5 hours from Columbus.
Okay.
And so when I saw this, I said it looked like Columbus, Ohio. It looked like a big city, some big cities I was seeing.
Okay.
And I came across there, and that's when all of a sudden I seen just mass hysteria, riots, and all kinds of things breaking out in the streets of the city, and windows being busted, and I saw people just grabbing things left and right. But when I saw it, I didn't see people grabbing TVs and computers and electronic things. I saw them literally running, grabbing food. They were grabbing chips. They were grabbing water. They were grabbing anything they could get in their hands to sustain their life.
So this was all about survival.
It was all about survival. I could tell that this was different than riots we have seen in the past.
So the rioters were going past the iPads, and they were looking for food and water.
Yes, they had come into the stores by the thousands, as many as people could back in there, and I saw them just slinging. You know, they were grabbing the TVs, just pushing them out of the way and just trying to, I've seen the store shelves just being pushed over as they were trying to get on the other side and trying to grab the food and grab the bread and grab the cases of water, everything that they could get just for survival.
And were the rioters fighting among themselves?
They were fighting among themselves until I seen one man grab a gun out of his pocket and shoot a man right in the head.
All right, so what happened next in this dream?
Well, to me, this is the most startling part of it to me. As I left, it gets worse? Yes. As I left from the place, I literally was going like a speed of light, and then all of a sudden I was standing on the back side of the White House. And as I stood there, I looked up, and I have to tell you something about this part. I heard a voice say, and I didn't even know this, I heard a voice say, look up to the Truman balcony. Well, I knew what a balcony was, but I did not know that the balcony had a name. And I did not even know it was called that until a friend contacted me that I shared this with. And I said, I've got to share this with you. And I told him, you know, the extra parts that we're talking about, that it called it the Truman Balcony. He said, brother, he said, you're not going to believe this. That's what it's called. He just identified that to let me know the dream that I was having was of the Lord.
So what was going on the Truman Balcony?
Well, in the dream, I saw the President of the United States, President Obama, standing on the balcony, and I saw in his hand a shotgun. And all of a sudden, to my left-hand side, I heard a loud scream, real loud. And when I turned my head to see where the scream was coming from, flying high up in the air was a majestic eagle flying around Washington, D.C. And I knew that scream. I knew it was an eagle. I saw, all of a sudden, the President of the United States point that shotgun to that eagle and shot it dead, and it fell to the ground. And when it did, I looked up back at him, and he just had a smile on his face like a smirk. And these were the words I heard in the dream. I've done it, and I won't have to deal with this in my administration.
Obama smiled. After he shot the American Eagle and killed it, he said, I've done it, and I won't have to deal with this in my administration.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then there was dead silence. And then I heard a voice that said, tell the people that this is my will, that this is my hand, this is the hand of the Almighty, both upon this generation of the righteous and upon the cursed. The righteous will find their way and know what to do. The cursed will wander around with no compass because the cup is full.
The cup is full.
The cup is full.
And we know what that means. That's,
yes.
That's straight out of the book of Jeremiah.
Absolutely.
God told Jeremiah, tell the people, they're going to have to lick every drop out of this cup.
Yes, sir.
Not only did they have to drink it, he said they're going to have to lick the last drop.
Yes, sir.
What do you think Obama meant by saying, I've done it, and now I won't have to deal with this in my administration?
Well, I'm a very firm believer that what he is doing is absolutely eroding the foundation of America. He has trampled on the Constitution. He has everything he has been able to do to destroy the foundation of America through policies, through things he is putting into effect. And I believe and see that each time it's just eroding our country. And I feel like that he is certainly bringing the country down to where we cannot even see the light of day.
Well, he's a one-man human wrecking ball.
He is absolutely a total wrecking ball for this nation.
After Obama, in this dream, shoots down the American Eagle and gloats over it, the Holy Spirit said to you in the dream, tell the people, this is my will.
Yes.
This is my hand.
Yes.
Both upon the generation of the righteous and upon the cursed.
Yes.
So why is this the will of God?
Well, the Bible says he sets up kings, he takes down kings. We know that everything is at the hand of the Almighty. And we do know that what he is doing, obviously the Lord is going to, you know, put this into effect. It's going to come about. Obama's, his administration and everything that is happening is going to affect the righteous. It's going to affect all of us. But God said, this is my will. And so we have to pray that the Lord will take this and help us to understand it. Because I know there's people running around saying, we don't understand. We don't understand why these things are happening. But the people have to understand that God has everything in control. And the Lord let me know that this is his will, and this is his hand upon the generation of the righteous and upon the cursed.
Well, Pastor,
and we have to accept that.
Well, Pastor, I mean, obviously, I know that you've read the Bible enough that you know that in ancient Israel, God used wicked nations, wicked evil kings, to bring punishment upon his people Israel.
That's exactly right, and I believe that we are in that time again in America.
But it wasn't God's desire to do it. It was the last thing he had left to do.
It was the last act that God could do to bring punishment and to bring the people, you know, either back to him or they would be caught up and be destroyed with the rest of the nation.
There's a pattern. There's a pattern of warning and judgment in the Bible. God uses the natural things. He uses the environment, the climate. He uses, drought, and he cuts off the food supply, and he brings in pestilence and disease. And
yes.
But he'll use these natural judgments in a steady progression, and we don't know in, the Bible, I mean, how many years. This can be decades and decades, just like it's been happening in America. And the weather is changing, and we're being hit with tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and droughts and wildfires and economic problems. And there's pestilence. We've got killer bees, and the bats are dying, and the honeybees are dead. And the people still don't get it, Pastor.
They don't. They do not. It amazes me. It amazes me at how that people have their heads buried in the sand when God is sending so many warnings to people through your radio ministry, through all kinds of God's servants that are here, and yet they will not believe. Just like in the Bible, God sent the prophets. He warned them there was going to come destruction, there was going to come trouble, the nations were going to come in and take over, but yet the people said, no, that's not going to happen. God won't do something like that. Then it did. But then they went back and apologized and said, we're sorry. But it was too late.
When you look in the Bible at ancient Israel, what was going on in ancient Israel that set off these various judgments? What were the people of Israel doing that caused God to start the droughts and the famines and the pestilence and then eventually the last stage is war? What were they doing?
They're the same thing that's happening in America, shedding innocent blood, putting God out of our nation, putting God out of any kind of policies, taking God out of the school systems until we have a generation that is rebellious. We're living in a rebellious generation where right is wrong and wrong is right. They've enacted policies and have protected the ungodly.
So the ancient Israelites, they forsook the holy God of Israel.
They forsook God.
They turned against his commandments. They refused to keep his commandments. They worshipped other gods. They brought the gods of the east in. They had their idols. They had their star gods. They had all these false gods. Lots of times they would worship the God of Israel, but they worshipped their other gods. They had multiple gods.
Multiple gods.
They went to the temple and said, we're saved, and then they left the temple and went and had sex with their wives.
Absolutely.
Of their neighbors. All right?
Yes.
They committed adultery. They committed all kinds of sins, and they had no conviction about it.
No conviction. And look at how many religions we are, is being allowed in America to basically take over.
That's right.
These other gods. Building temples and building mosques and yet it's protected. And if we would say something as a Christian, then it's hate crimes. It's wrong. But yet they can do what they want to, and it's bringing in other gods and allowing other gods in our nation.
Pastor, what else happened in the dream?
Well, at that point I knew that we were coming to a showdown between good and evil, good versus evil. I saw people gathering in their homes, and those there was prayer meetings. They were praying in the spirit, and then I heard in the dream, it said, tell my servants and my handmaids a special anointing would reside on you in the last days, and hold not back your voice, but speak your hearts, for out of them is the issue of life. And the Lord told me to tell the people to pick up the mantle of prayer and cover themselves in a secret place of prayer. and that their eyes would be anointed with a special anointing. There would be others that would be blinded to my word, and all things would be revealed in their due course, but that there would be a supernatural wave of the Spirit come over this generation very soon, but that the final voices are in the land to speak one last time, and yet through the ministries of tapes and DVDs and books that people would have in their possession, that God would give them that spiritual food to sustain them during these times that are coming upon us. And the Lord did say there was harsh days coming. And also, I was all of a sudden, it changed in the dream, and I began to hear a voice, the voice of God, and I saw in front of me a table. I was transported in front of a table, a very old table that I knew there had been documents signed, special documents had been signed on this table. And, you know, I'm hesitant to say this, but I saw a voting ballot laying there on the table. And as I looked on the ballot, I saw two names. I saw the president's name on the ballot, and I saw Mitt Romney's name. And then all of a sudden, I looked and I saw the President of the United States' name checkmarked. And I knew then what that meant. And I heard a voice I looked down on the ballot, rather, and I saw written in on the ballot, "For this is the will of the Lord." And then I woke up.
Wait a minute. The last thing you saw in the dream was a ballot, and the names on the ballot were Barack Obama and Mitt Romney?
I saw two names on this very old antique table that I knew had, I knew it had to do with Washington. I knew it had to do with the United States, and I saw those two names on the ballot, and I saw President Obama's name checkmarked.
So the Lord was showing you Obama will win the election.
I absolutely believe that. I am 100% sure.
Pastor, if all this is true, which I believe, obviously I believe it's true, I wouldn't have you on this program, then what you saw in this dream is imminent.
Yes. America's days are numbered. The handwriting's on the wall.
Oh, Father. Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
Lord, have mercy. Pastor, we got like a minute or so here. What are you telling your church?
I'm telling my church to just be prepared to get their house in order, and whatever they need to do for their families, do it quickly.
And I think right now that's the best thing. Do it quickly.
Yes.
Do it quickly. Do it quickly.
Do it quickly.
A dear brother listens to this radio program for years. He wrote to me the other day, and he said the Lord told him, "You have 6 months to prepare." Mm-hmm. 6 months to prepare. Brethren, as you listen to this man of God, you have to make a decision what you're going to do with it. You can just take this program as another prophetic program that you sat and listened to, and isn't that interesting, and you go back to business as normal. If that's your response, you're going to suffer a great price, because I believe that the Lord is prophetically telling us to get prepared right now. We're in the final stage. Pastor T.D. Hale, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. Pastor T.D. Hale, the shepherd of Calvary Christian Center.
Well, that concludes the testimony of the prophetic dream of Pastor T.D. Hale, and the things that he describes in his dream, I believe, match with the prophecies in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, that describe the judgment upon Babylon during the tribulation period. So the question we need to ask ourselves is the fulfillment of these prophecies going to happen here in the next few years? Will it happen in a second term of Obama? And Pastor T.D. Hale testifies that in the prophetic dream that he believes he was given from the Lord, it indeed will be. And so, given that the 5-minute update is a watchman on the wall message, we wanted to bring this to your attention, because it's the duty of the watchman to blow the shofar when he sees trouble coming upon the land, to warn the people of the God of Israel to awaken from their spiritual slumber and seek the Lord their God. For those who are maintaining an intimate personal relationship with Yeshua the Messiah and who have not fallen spiritually asleep, the news of these things coming upon our land should not trouble your heart, because the God of Israel has provided a way for you to overcome. And we're told in Revelation in chapter 15 and verse 2 that there is a group of people who get victory over the beast, over his mark, over his image, and over the number of his name, which means they get victory during that 42-month period when the beast rules and reigns upon the entire earth, Revelation in chapter 13. And the way in which they get the victory is that they're singing the song of Moses and they're singing the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses is what the children of Israel sang in Exodus chapter 15 when Pharaoh and his army was defeated in the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 4, and Pharaoh and his army was defeated by the right hand, Exodus chapter 15 and verse 6, which is a reference to Yeshua the Messiah, because in the volume of the book, it is written of him, Psalm chapter 40 and verse 7. Likewise, it is Yeshua who will provide victory for his people over the beast and the beast system, and he does so by gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel, bring them back to the land, signs, wonders, and miracles, and in returning, he will lead them supernaturally. They will be led by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, as we're told in Isaiah chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6. And the joy that will be in their heart from the deliverance that Messiah brings, they will be singing the song of the Lamb. The song of the Lamb is the Lord's song that's spoken of in Psalm 137 and verse 4, which is synonymous with the song of Zion, Psalm 137 verse 3. And the song of Zion is the end of the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel. So this is how Messiah will be revealed to his people, how he will receive glory, and how the world will know that the Father has sent him, even as Yeshua prayed in John chapter 17 and verse 21. So this is why Yeshua encouraged us with these words: when you see all these things coming upon the earth, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Until we do it again, Shalom, in Yeshua the Messiah, Amen.